At that former stage, being parted from mental fabrication, you are comfortable with the realization of normal awareness in terms of all phenomena being one with respect to their not being established by their self-nature or their lack of being truly void. But you are still a little uncomfortable with it in terms of whatever undiminished, fresh and clean conceptual thoughts that dawn. By having purified that, now whatever dawns, fresh and clean, is by itself sufficient for gaining stable realization of normal awareness, regardless of whether or not you are able to part it from the mental fabrication of a being neither truly void nor truly not void. When you have the stable realization that, when atop appearances or voidness, whichever one, on each, all phenomenon of the pathway minds, as many as there might be, are complete in terms of having the single taste of the essential nature that you have stably realized as the ultimate Dharma, this is the lesser stage of the single taste. Since at that lesser stage, experienced objects were still mixed as one of a pair with decisive awareness of their essential nature, now, by having purified that, everything mixes into one in terms of its purity and its actual nature, such seeming pairs as appearances as external material objects without exception, and mind as internal knowings without exception, specific awareness and deep awareness, and so forth. Therefore, in short, when compulsive existence and the tranquil peace of nirvana dawn, straight as an arrow is equal. In other words, when uncontrollably recurring samsara and released nirvana dawn straight as an arrow, as inseparable, this is the middling stage of the single taste. When the multiplicity of all phenomena dawn as being of a single taste, and then from that dependently arising appearances diffuse in accord with being skillful in means, then, with the single taste dawning as multiplicity, this is the great stage of the single taste. Now you have attained patience for all phenomena as they have no true arising. These three stages of the single taste cover the interval between the second and seventh level bhumi minds. Some explain that they include up to the eighth as well. At that former stage, the single taste, your total absorptions and subsequent attainments were mixed in a single taste. However, there were still some taints of grasping at voidness during subsequent attainment periods. By having purified that, everything is purified in the sphere of reality, Dharma Dhatu, without even the slightest difference between what is to be attained and the one attaining it, and between meandering and non-meandering from this realization during total absorption and subsequent attainment periods. When you are parted from all signs of a dualism of what is to be meditated upon and the one meditating upon it, this is the lesser stage of no further meditation and the eighth level bhumi mind. Since at that lesser stage it was sometimes still possible for a slightly grasping consciousness to occur, now, by having purified that, when all becomes one, the great total absorption of deep awareness, this is the middling stage of no further meditation, the ninth and tenth level bhumi minds. After that, when the sword of discriminating deep awareness slashes off the cognitive obscurations together with the dormant factors, then the mother clear light, which is the totally pure sphere of reality, and the child clear light, which is mirror-like deep awareness, become mixed into one. This unified pair with no further training, this manifestation of the enlightened state of a Buddha, is the great stage of no further meditation, the bhumi stage mind of a Buddha. In other words, by having progressed through 8th, 9th, 10th, and this 11th level bhumi minds, the natural purity of primordial, simultaneously arising mirror-like deep awareness in the sphere of reality that you have enlighteningly rendered manifest as a dharmakaya, a corpus encompassing everything. The natural purity of conceptual thoughts, which is the mind of limited beings, that you have made manifest as a sambhogakaya, a corpus of full use. The natural purity of seemingly external appearances as objects under the influence of circumstances that you have made manifest is a nirmanakaya, a corpus of emanations. And with these three, or a limitless number of Buddha bodies, then, through their enlightening influence to benefit others beyond imagination, effortlessly and without conceptual thought, effortlessly bringing about through the bounds of space benefit to wandering beings until uncontrollably recurring samsara has been emptied out, this is the ultimate good quality that you make manifest. Since that is the case, therefore, if you exert effort to foster the good qualities, one after the next, from the preliminaries up to the stage of no further meditation, and not to let those already developed degenerate, but rather for them to increase further, all those good qualities will come about. Therefore, enhance your enthusiasm in accord with that and practice. That is the sixth point for enhancing your progress. Therefore, mind itself as an intrinsic part of yourself, except for merely whether you realize or not that it is double purity, ultimately and deeply from the start, is called the accordant nature or Mahamudra. That which you have as an intrinsic part of yourself is called basis time Mahamudra. Mind itself during the interval from having entered from that basis into meditation on the pathway minds up to a 10th level Bhumi mind is called path time Mahamudra. That which has been awakened from the slumber of unawareness and which has manifested its totally perfect deepest truth is called resultant time Mahamudra. As for the Mahamudra view, meditation, behavior, and result, to examine and behold the totally perfect abiding nature and be parted from all dualistic notions of objects to be grasped and awarenesses that grasp them is the Mahamudra view. To meditate without meandering on the deepest point of that view is the Mahamudra meditation. To cultivate whichever of the four activities is appropriate and be parted from all dualistic notions of something to be done and someone to do it is the Mahamudra behavior. To be parted from all dualistic notions of something to be meditated upon and someone to meditate with the implicit expectations and worries that come with them, such as worrying about falling down into samsara, wishing to rise up to attain Buddhahood and so on, is the Mahamudra result. When you have made yourself aware of what are, in fact, the deepest points concerning the Mahamudra view, meditation, behavior, and result in accord with that, then enhance your perseverance. Have firm conviction in and appreciation for your guru, with your trust placed totally in him or her. Turn away from clinging by parting yourself from clinging to uncontrollably recurring samsaric rebirth in this life. Rely at all times on being mindful not to meander from the Mahamudra practice. With your inessential plans kept merely short-term and few, and executed straight up and down like a bellows, then, when such attitudes arise as concern for the eight transitory things in life, conceptual thoughts about this life, concern about saving face, and so on, flatten these bumps. Having done that, forcefully cut the rope that binds you to your selfish concern for this life. In other words, you need to make effort to cultivate at all times what you have developed in meditation, without passing into a state of unconcern. Although there may be differences between a boon experience and a stable realization, nevertheless, in general, if for the meditator there is his or her own mind on the one side, and the other the meditation with bliss, clarity, non-conceptuality, and starkness being meditated or being experienced, it is a boon experience. If you realize with bare cognition, not just a presumptive understanding, that there is no duality of meditator and meditation, this is a stable realization. Therefore, having differentiated between what are in fact boon experiences and stable realizations, then in a state of not having entered into clinging to those boon experiences and holding them as supreme, cultivate them with effort at all times. This is important. Concerning that, of the four seals, the seal of behavior, Karma Mudra, is a pathway mind for those of duller wits. Through it, you achieve the actual attainments of the plane of sensory desires. The seal of close bonds, Samaya Mudra, and the seal of Dharma, Dharma Mudra, are the pathway minds for those of middling wits. Through them, you achieve the final actual attainments of the state beneath nothing else, Akanishta, the highest state of samsara. The great seal, Mahamudra, is the pathway mind for those of sharpest wits. It is the method for achieving the supreme actual attainment of enlightenment. Inseparable appearance voidness, bliss voidness, knowing voidness, clarity-making voidness, parted from all mental fabrication, cannot be indicated by a guru and cannot be intellectually understood by a disciple. It cannot be made intelligible with words, being parted from all notions that it is this and not that. Yet there isn't any phenomenon that great blissful awareness, as something that can be experienced but not identified, does not pervade in the world of appearances, samsara and nirvana. It is a great state beyond the intellect. Yet, although the trio, mind, conceptual thought, and Dharmakaya, having abided simultaneously from the start, yet because that is not realized, now it is indicated with guideline instructions by the gurus as something that has been blended into one as an inseparable unified triad. Since that is the case, it is called Mahamudra, simultaneously arising as merged. From the lineage that has passed from Vajradhara to Tilopa, Naropa, Marpa, Milarepa, and Gampopa, the lineage of meditation methods and so on, deriving from direct disciples of Gampopa, are Shang Mahamudra, Barom Mahamudra. Those deriving from the lineage of Gampopa's disciple, Pamodrupa, are Drigung Kagyu Mahamudra, Daplung Kagyu Mahamudra, Chenga Kagyu, Marye Kagyu, Shuksewa Kagyu, Tropu Kagyu, Yangsang Kagyu, Drukpa Kagyu through the lineage of Lingrepa, Gyarepa, and so on. But in particular, there is the especially distinguished Karma Kamsang Mahamudra, which has the undissipated warmth of inspiration from the unbroken lineage deriving from Gampopa through his direct disciple, the first Karmapa, Tusum Kempa, down to my guru, the omniscient fifth Shama Rinpoche, Gunjo Yenlak, as well as the undissipated warm moisture of the breath of the Dakinis. Since this tradition, known as Mahamudra, simultaneously arisen as merged, as a lineage that mixes into one the transmissions of all the Mahamudra lineages that have spread out in multitude, and is the source of all good qualities, it is famed in the world like the sun and the moon. Therefore, since if you have practiced it like pressing a rock against a broken bone to set it, it is decided for sure that you will develop boon experiences and stable realizations without the power to hold them back. Practice like that. That is the seventh point for enhancing your progress. Samdhen Lama Samdhen Kunga has insistently entreated me with these words, "Please indicate the Mahamudra teachings here by taking as the main thing getting to know face to face the essential nature of the mind, pointing a finger directly at the practice without doing anything further, such as quoting scriptural sources and the like. Because of that, then although I have no experience myself, I, Mipham Choong, or Vajreshvara, the ninth Karmapa Wangchung Dorje, have dutifully written this during my meditation sessions at Shoka or House, in accordance with the words of the previous gurus. It has 20, 22, or 25 meditation topics. By the positive force of this, may I and all other motherly limited beings, by having turned sincerely away from clinging to the desirable objects of the senses, see the essential nature of the mind. Shubham astu sarva jagatam. May all the world be pure."